Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from September the 28th, 2022. Have at least a positive day after what's been a fairly negative week, but we'll go ahead and dive right into the changes we've seen within the major indexes as well as within Dolly over the past week. First, looking at the performance of many of the indexes we follow on the video, really the only thing we saw in positive territory was the US dollar, up over 3.5% there. Pretty much everything else is in negative territory and leading the way to the downside, with small caps down almost 7% over the past week, along with international equities as EEM and EFA were down over 5.5%, with EFA being down over 6.5% respectively. Did see also commodities through GSG down over 5% as well, which, as you can imagine, many of these numbers cause quite a bit of impact to the point and figure charts. And this is the 25 point per box chart of the S&P 500, with action yesterday fell below the 36.25 level, taking out the prior June low here at 36.50. We now look to support on the chart, can't quite fit it on the chart, but look to support at 35.50 as well as 35.25 on the S&P 500 there. Moving on over to GSG to take a look at commodities, still maintains a positive fund score above 4, but when we look at the chart here, we did talk about last week it had come down to the support here at 21. It's now moved down to that $20 level, taking out that support, much of that primarily due to also seeing crude take out a pretty significant support level on its chart as well. As far as indicators go, we have seen many of the 10-week charters to move to historic low levels, this being the 10-week for the NYSE, fell below 6% following Monday's action. The only other times we've seen this particular indicator lower was in March of 2020 at 2% and October of 2008 at 4% on the 10-week indicator. As far as the bullish percent goes, we're seeing stocks continue to move to sell signals, as we've seen the bullish percent for the NYSE moved into bear confirmed status this week at 18%, moving below that prior level we saw there in June at 20%. We're now at the lowest level we've seen since March of 2020, and suggesting that at least only one out of every five stocks are trading on point and figure buy signals right now. In addition to seeing the bullish percent move to bear confirmed status, we also saw the multiple buy bullish percent move to bear confirmed status as well at 6%, suggesting only 6% of stocks on the NYSE are maintaining consecutive point and figure buy signals. Conversely, we've seen the multiple sell, which is that symbol is going to be BPMSNYSE, move up to 42%, suggesting that 42% of stocks are now giving consecutive point and figure sell signals. And it actually matches its prior high level that we saw in July at 42% with that action. Moving on over to Dolly, we did see that over the past week, cash has jumped up to the second, but now with yesterday's action moving up to that first position for the first time since July of 2020. We saw it ranked first for last from March 2020 to July 2020. With this action, we see domestic equities fall to that number three position, and with yesterday's action, commodities fell to second. The only asset class interesting of note to not give up signals was currency, primarily a lot of strength out of the US dollar benefiting there in some fashion, but is the only asset class that we see on Dolly other than cash to pick up signals over the past week. Under the hood, the only real notable change that we wanted to point out was energy commodities falling down to this third position within the energy space, or specifically just energy. It's the first time it's ranked in that third position since November of 2020. But to talk more on asset classes and what's going on the asset class group scores page, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we proceed into really the close of September, let's talk about the top line indicators of where we stand now. The money market percentile rank boosts greatly to an above 80% reading. More on that in a few moments. And the core percentile rank still hovering around the 90th percentile versus all asset classes around the world. As David mentioned with bullish percents, same thing happening here with fund bullish percents as they really give up the ghost. We move down to the lowest level we've seen in 2022 in this paradigm. Probably the only good news to say is we're in low field position, but a major collapse in the bullish percents over the current week. As we take a look at the asset classes that score above four, we do have a few. But the leaders in there are inverse fixed income, inverse market. These are the two score directional leaders on the system. But we also see moving into the top fractions of the group's fixed income type assets, moving above three and moving into kind of a solid footing in the top, 10, top 15 type of asset classes. So we'll cover more on that right now. As we take a look at the average U.S. fixed income quality fund and the average U.S. equity diversified fund as a pair, meaning there are different aggregates we could look at, but we're seeing this kind of across the board. Fixed income quality, a sharp move back up in relative score, that score boosting up, versus an equity counterpart. Here it's the U.S. Counterparts. We can see fixed income crossing above the average U.S. equity fund for the second time in 2022. The first time failed. Now we're back at it again to see where we stand coming from here. As we take a look at the value growth paradigm, we had a kind of a meltdown in both sides of the group over the week. We've got some lower scores than we've seen in, in some months on both sides, but the value still has a premium over the growth funds. We're still monitoring that situation. And as we take a look at the score and the risks, of all these asset classes out there from the left quadrants to the right quadrants, we had a major downtick over the week and the calculation turned negative. What that means in English is that low risk assets give as much score than high risk assets. In other words, a little bit of edge to low risk assets like fixed income or money markets, and a little less edge of high risk assets like energy and some other things. So that calculation turns negative again, also in this for the second stint during 2022. Some bright spot maybe is long-term moving averages show a higher level this week than last week. However, over the recent day or two, we start to see the downticks come in, but I just want to be able to say at least we're higher than last week's reading. We'll continue to monitor that situation. We're still on the low decile as far as positive moving averages with any equity around the world. Let's take a look to make sure we understand, where are we in this so-called dark period of the year? Well, where we are is that commodities and the core remain battling for the 89th percentile, up in leadership, even though both are suffering. The core is really down for the year big time. The commodities, you could say maybe they're a positive year to date, but they've been losing money lately. But that's still at the 90th percentile against all asset classes around the world. What we also have here is the core reaches above 80. Haven't seen that maybe for one day in 2018, multiple months in 2008. Prior to that, be 1984. Prior to that, a huge block of time in the first half of the 1970s. So this is where we are with a high money market percentile rank. We need to see what happens from here. Will that abate or will that hold this level? In 2018, it could only hold this level for one day. Right now, we're 3 days into it. We'll keep an eye on this, what I would call high tension situation. We have 16 asset classes above the score of three. I guess that's good news. But when we take a look at the scale of what that means, let's take a look at an abbreviated list of asset classes. We have 140 of them. Can't fit them all on one screen, but we can fit the similitude of percentages of what we're seeing. So, you got 16 asset classes above the score of three, as we've shown a moment ago. The core and the commodities are competing at the 89th percentile. They're trying to get into that 90th percentile. Even though they're down a great deal lately, they're still competing well compared to everything else. You have 89 or so percent of the asset classes scoring below three. You have 81% of the asset classes scoring below the score of money market. You have 60% of asset classes around the world scoring below the score of 250, and a quarter of those score below the score of 10. As we close September and move into October, hopefully heading for a seasonally strong period in November, this is where we're starting from, a very dark alignment of the asset classes, possibly ripe for a rally, but we have to go further, and you need to understand what you're dealing with when you're dealing with a market of this nature. But for more on important action in dollar and in momentum, let's move over to John.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So we've had a continuation in the momentum spreads, all of them moving higher over the past week. Again, we've talked about it quite a bit, but that has been really the function of avoiding the laggards so far this year. The leadership hasn't really outpaced the a few of the other quintiles. It's really been the laggards that have driven performance lower and thus the spread higher. So that has definitely continued over the last week. And these spreads look to be in nice uptrends. That's a good sign for momentum. And like I said, in this case, really avoiding the laggards. But the big story this week continues to be the ascent of the US dollar. So as interest rates keep going up, the dollar gets more attractive. We've seen the dollar break out above the top end of its trading band. We have the dollar really moving to levels versus other currencies that we haven't seen in a long, long time. This is going to have an effect on certain industries, certain stocks, certain groups, that sort of thing. This is going to make exporting more difficult for US-based companies. There are certain industries that don't do a lot of foreign business, things like real estate, right? Because all the real estate is here. Utilities is another one that is predominantly US-based in revenue. But then you flip the other side, things like technology have a lot of revenue coming from overseas. And surprisingly, something like consumer staples, right? A lot of our consumer products, large companies do a lot of overseas business. That dollar really starts to become a headwind. We are at very high levels, and I'm sure that we will see that coming through in upcoming earnings announcements for a lot of these areas that have major overseas revenue. That will, I'm sure, start to filter through in some of the earnings calls. So be aware of that. And for more on currencies, we'll turn it over to Miles to talk about crypto.
Thanks, John. It was a positive, yet albeit relatively uneventful week for crypto this week. Looking at the NASDAQ crypto index, ticker NCI, found itself in positive territory, up just over 0.5%, which in comparison to some of those broader indexes David looked at, certainly a positive move for the week. But this muted outperformance kind of bled into the larger constituents of the NCI, with Bitcoin and Ethereum roughly flat on the week with minimal changes to their default point and figure trend charts. As I mentioned last week, Bitcoin still does have that fragile technical picture sitting within one box of completing a bearish triangle and 2022 support. So it's still something to continue to monitor as we go forward. But wrapping up this side of things, while the week, again, like I said, was positive, the broad space has yet to see any true meaningful follow through that would point to, you know, kind of a shift towards largely technical, positive technical picture. We saw two coins, Chainlink and Uniswap, reverse back up into X's, and no point and figure signal changes this week. But one interesting thing to note here is taking a look at the rolling 90-day correlation between Bitcoin and the NASDAQ 100 NDX. Currently with a correlation coefficient of 0.71, of course, a one correlation coefficient signifying perfectly positive correlation between the returns. So this reading of 0.71 tops the 2022 average correlation, which comes in at 0.61. But where it really becomes interesting is when you put it into context. Outside of 2022, this correlation coefficient since 2010 drops to 0.06. So throughout 2022, we've seen a kind of drastic increase in the correlation between Bitcoin and the NASDAQ 100. Certainly something to continue to monitor going forward as we see these kind of two typically risk-on asset classes trade closely together. But with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Joseph for more on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And, you know, getting into this week, we pretty eventful week for equity indices. We haven't seen too much change, though, when we look at the size and style rankings. Still a hefty lead by value over growth, although both got hit hard over the past week, as we'll see here when we look at the asset class group scores page. And we've sorted this by the overbought oversold reading. We see some of the stronger groups or groups of these size and styles that have held up a bit better over the past several months through this year. You know, large cap value is one of them. You know, look at a fairly significant, heavily oversold reading. So, you know, if you are looking to deploy money, you want to be looking at these areas with, you know, higher average scores, something like large cap value, you know, mid cap value. So pretty much everything's been hit across the board over the past several weeks. Focusing on large cap value here, that actually dropped below the score of 3.0 for the first time this year over the past week. You'd look for that to regain as a positive. So even though it is in heavily oversold territory, that is some significant deterioration there in terms of its average score reading. So you'd look to see that get regained back above 3.0. And given that it's in heavily oversold territory, you may see a bounce there. Now, shifting into U.S. equity sectors, looking at healthcare and financials here, financials were able to maintain the fourth spot in the DALI sector rankings, while healthcare was able to cross above technology and basic materials over the past week. It's a sector that we've seen, you know, slowly improve over the year. While not going to be an overwhelming area of strength in the market, it is one where we've seen improvement compared to some other sectors like technology, which have weakened quite a bit this year. Focusing on financials here, looking at XLF, the Financial Select Spider Fund, still has a fund score of less than one. This is a space where, although it's ranked fourth in DALI, there's a lot of absolute weakness. If you go through the trend charts, there's not too many attractive names there, at least on the large cap side. But we do see it's testing support here at 30.50. It has a weekly overbought oversold reading of -79%. So you're in heavily oversold territory. You're testing some support there. So again, ripe for a bit of a bounce. Now, a couple of names you could consider here, some quality names that get, you know, when you have these bigger drawdown periods, you can often see even the good stuff gets hit fairly hard. One name to look out for is Arthur J. Gallagher. It's still a five for fiver. It's pulled back quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, but it is holding this positive trend line. So one you could consider on a reversal back up into X's. But again, you know, when these good stocks get hit hard, they do offer some opportunities. Another one to look at here is FactSet Research. Similar pattern where you see this big drop in September, but we are testing support here at 388, and it's able to hold above its positive trend line. This one's a bit more oversold as well. You have a reading of -67%. So two there you could consider, two individual names there you could consider within the financial space. Moving over to healthcare, we did see this break below that 126 level. However, XLV here sells a fund score of 4.28, overbought oversold reading of -81%. So if you did want sector exposure here, you get a heavily overbought oversold, or you get a heavily oversold reading with a fairly strong fund score. So that's one you could look at just as broad-based exposure. Two names here that look strong, despite getting, you know, dragged down a bit with the market, is UNH. It's a five for five or still actually has a move to a sell signal. It's been able to hold above that support at 496. So one you could consider today if you're looking at this name, given that it's been able to hold above that low in July at 496 is definitely a sign of strength. So a name there. And then one more would be Cigna Corporation, which is a five for fiver. Not heavily oversold, but it has pulled back. Still trading on two consecutive buy signals, holding that positive trend line. It did get a bit extended to the upside in September, so pulled back a little bit, offering you an attractive entry point. So there's a couple of names there in the healthcare sector to consider as well. That being said, I'll go ahead and pass on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll go ahead and dive right into communication services, consumer discretionary, and utilities. Honestly, you'll probably hear some pretty similar themes for a lot of these sectors, as many of them traded lower over the past week. But first, beginning with communication services, looking at XLC, we saw it move lower last week, taking out near support there at 52, has continued down into oversold territory at 48, moving near the bottom of its trading band, reaching a reading of -100% oversold. So many of the names we see within the communication sector breaking down. First and foremost, the names that we want to point out is going to be Fox Corporation. This is the Class A share, symbol FOXA. Was a 1-for-5er, so still ranking fairly low, all things considered, as far as the technical attribute goes, but did break a triple bottom yesterday at 31 and coming down to test support here from January of 2021 at that $31 level. So seeing FOXA continue to break down. Also seeing Meta with yesterday's action move below its COVID lows, fell below that 136 level, which takes out the COVID low that was at 138. Meta now trades at levels we haven't seen on the chart since January of 2019. Google also another one that we saw falling pretty notably, still maintains that 3-for-5er attribute rating, but fell below the $99 level as well as down to 97 with action this week as it moves further into oversold territory, about right in line with the market as far as oversold territory goes. Most cases probably looking to hold unless you're a near-term holder, which you may be looking for a potential bounce to step away if you are a near-term holder or possible trader of Google on that front. Looking at consumer discretionary, first with XLY, we did see it fall, give a second consecutive sell signal here at 152 and also violate that bullish support line, moving it into a negative trend. Didn't see too much impact to its fund score, though, as it still maintains a fund score above 3, unlike many funds within the sector, which are scoring very low. So interesting to see that, as well as that it still has a lot of its June and July support levels still holding up here well. So something worth of note within consumer discretionary, but it wasn't alone in not seeing any breakdowns, as we also saw Domino's DPZ move yesterday to levels we haven't seen on its chart since April of 2020. It actually took out its March 2020 low here at 320 as it moved to 316. So it had been a bit of a darling during the summer as it was rebounding, improving in attributes, but has now fallen to give 5 consecutive sell signals and turn into a bleak technical picture as a 1-for-5er. Two stocks within the space to continue to keep an eye on, first being Norwegian Cruise Lines, which typically cruise lines have been pretty impacted this year and hit relatively hard. But looking at their chart action recently, especially that of NCL, you see some pretty interesting pictures as we have seen NCL recently break a triple top, giving its 4th consecutive buy signal there. It has reversed down, but continues to maintain a positive trend and trades right at the middle of its trading band. Actually, recently in the past, probably 3 to 4 weeks, we've seen it reverse up on its market and peer RS charts, in addition to moving back into a positive trend back there in August. So is one to potentially keep on a watch list, as it seems to be have already built its base and trading higher here, but obviously still have some overhead resistance for NCL there. Another stock to keep an eye on is going to be Etsy ETSY, ranks in the top third of that retailing sector matrix and did a lot of the action as far as its chart action and relative strength action goes back in July. But while it still sits on a sell signal, just want to point it out that the fact that unlike many charts, it did hold its bullish support line and with yesterday's action moved back to a buy signal by breaking a double top there at 99. So still have some resistance here at 114 as it will as 122, but could keep Etsy on a watch list. Moving on over to our last sector, that being utilities, and looking at XLU, we see with this week's action continues lower as it negates the shakeout pattern at this point, moving this low on its chart in the column of O's. It's now testing its bullish support line there at 68. Also have support from July there at 68 as well. Still maintaining the strong relative picture as far as utilities go, but overall continuing to see this trending picture fall lower, but still holds up above support from July and June, which is a positive. And looking at two stocks that we wanted to view within the sector, first being Consolidated Edison, ED, has fallen down to a 2-for-5er after yesterday's action where it took out its bullish support line as it fell to 91. Still see some support here at 90 and 87. Could look to hold on ED for utilities exposure as it still ranks in the top quartile of the electric utilities matrix and maintains a yield north of 3%. But keep an eye on support there at 90 as well as at 87. Somewhat similar, we see EXC, Exelon Corporation. It's a 4-for-5er with yesterday's action, broke the spread triple bottom here at 40, bringing it down to levels we haven't seen since December of 2021. Now, again, still maintains that positive relative picture, but maybe near-term holders may look to step away here or lock in some some profits depending on your cost basis. Do bear in mind that it does still rank in that top quartile, or actually top quintile, of the electric utility sector matrix, and does have a yield north of 3%, but have seen that pretty significant breakdown. But to continue our conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Thanks, David. Some thoughts on industrial staples and real estate, many of which have already been shared by other members in terms of kind of washed out conditions, but just to get a feel for them in these sectors, starting with industrials. I think the first place to look is that just your broad sector proxy, XLI, moved lower over the past week, took out some key support at $85, trading towards the bottom of its 10-week trading band. You can also know that it's at its lowest level since November of 2020 now. So that November 2020 pullback level was 84, down to 83 at this time. So a sign of absolute deterioration within that utility sector. I would note, though, on the longer term relative strength rankings, this still sits towards the middle of our equal weight territory, simply because it hasn't fallen as much as some of the other sectors, but certainly some signs of absolute weakness for the broad sector there. In terms of participation, so the percentage of stocks above their 50-day moving averages has fallen to 10%, which is your lowest level since March of 2020, and other pretty notable market pullback environments like 2018. You also saw the chart get down to this level. Do note that it got here earlier in October and then retested again down in December, but we are getting that first kind of wash out, if you will, south of 10% for the 10-week indicator for the sector. One name that I did want to highlight this week that's caught my attention was CSX. It recently fell to a three attribute stock because it violated its bullish support line at $27. That support line was in place since 2009. So really long-term absolute uptrend, as you can see there. Second consecutive sell signals, something that if you're looking to reduce your exposure on, probably doing so on a rally, given the degree of its near-term oversold condition. Jumping over to consumer staples now, even some of the leadership has softened, as John and others have mentioned so far. XLP broke its bullish support line actually today at $68, returned to a sell signal. It is going to have a negative effect on that fund score, but do note that this is still relatively one of the stronger areas we've seen in the marketplace. It soars the top of our Dolly ranking still at this time, simply because it's been falling less than a lot of other areas. And then similarly, you can see on the asset class group scores page, sectors view, it still sits towards the top of all sectors that we're seeing here. Acceptable fund score of 3.5 in terms of average fund score. Also a heavily oversold condition, so more than 100% oversold being the average fund. If you look at that historical overbought, oversold distribution, trips south of 100% are not rare for consumer staples. We certainly saw it in the early innings of 2020, you saw it at the end of 18, actually twice in 18, October, November of 18, but similarly, really only major market extremes, you see staples get this oversold. Jumping over to real estate now, probably the weakest of the group that I've mentioned here. They're barely holding on to some equal weight rankings of Dolly, but looking like that could soften and roll over with some upcoming sectors. XLRE fund score 0.79, well below the bottom of its trading band, heavily oversold at $36. That's its lowest level since March of 2021. I've said before, but the velocity of rising rates are typically a really big headwind for the real estate space, REITs in particular. A note on that fund score, that 0.79, just for comparisons, that's your lowest you've seen since March of 20. And before that, actually early 2018, throughout the first half of 2018, you didn't see XLRE get really above the score of 1 for quite some time. So it's not uncommon to see XLRE at this low of a fund score, but it's not something you'd be looking to build exposure on, watching out for that kind of near-term rally as a potential exit here. In terms of participation for the real estate sector, you could probably guess, but one of the lowest participation readings we've seen, just 4% of stocks are above their 50-day moving average, lowest since March of 2020. And before that, you actually haven't seen this indicator get to the 4% level. So setting history, or really setting precedent, if you will, in terms of washed out conditions for the real estate space. you were to look to one name within in the real estate space, there aren't that many attractive looking charts, but EXR is a five attribute name, had a really big inhale and subsequent exhale, but still holding that bullish support line, kind of longer term uptrend, if you will, is somewhat still intact. I mean, not as clean or picturesque as many others, but the five attribute rating, one of the better ranked names within the matrix, could be a name to look toward or maintain if you want some active exposure in the sector. That's all I had for this week, so I'll go ahead and give it over to Jamie.
The material sector fell to ninth in the DALI sector rankings, now ahead of only consumer cyclicals and communication services. The fund score of the broad sector representative, the Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, remains about the same at around 1.8. However, we did see some deterioration on an absolute basis as the fund has continued lower, down about 7% over the last week, which is about 1.3% more than the S&P. So continuing to see materials lag the broader market. Within the sector, we continue to see the same areas of relative strength, namely chemicals, forest products, and steel, all of which rank within the top 10 of the DWA group matrix. However, the sector at large obviously remaining in underweight territory, and as we saw over the last week, continuing to lag the market at large. Moving on to energy, it remains first in the DALI sector rankings. It did give up a handful of buy signals over the last week. However, that really doesn't reflect the level of deterioration that we saw. The Select Spider Energy Fund, ticker XLE, down nearly 10% over the last week. We saw its fund score drop from around 5.2 to its current level around 4.7. And we can see here on the default chart, taking out multiple levels of support, really the only recent support left on the chart sitting at $66, which was XLE's July low. Within the sector, we did see quite a few of significant drops, violations of major support, and trend violations among individual names. While the sector remains number one in the DALI rankings, I really think you do want to keep a close eye on positions here, as you know, did see quite a bit of deterioration in those individual names. I think the run-up that we saw in the sector earlier this year kind of helping to maybe mask some of the absolute deterioration, as it had such a large relative strength advantage over some of the other sectors in the market. Some very serious technical breakdowns among some of the individual names in the sector. You can also see pretty significant violations of support and negative trend change here on the chart of XLE. So definitely, keep monitoring those energy positions. So that's all I have for materials and energy, and I will pass it over to Ian for his take on technology.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. So the broader technology space has continued to see some deterioration alongside the broader equity market over the course of the past week. This story is just kind of more of the same that we're seeing here. I mean, continued push lower, most of the broader rankings, but you see a little bit of an actual buy signal increase on the DALI rankings. Technology moved from ninth to eighth, but that's really kind of more a story of just how close it's sitting with some of the other low-ranked sectors and didn't really see much of the relative strength picture change there. You can see here on the group scores page, the technology sector is the lowest ranked broad sector representative at a fund score of average of 1.35. It's getting pretty oversold, negative 83% oversold based on market movement through Tuesday. If we look kind of historically, once it kind of gets down near the 100 mark is typically when you see that it kind of pushes higher. Obviously, we've seen a push much lower than 100 in certain market environments, namely 2008 and 2020. But each time this year, if we zoom in on the picture a little bit, once it kind of gets down to that negative 100% oversold mark is when we might see the more increased potential for reversals, rather. But in looking at some of those, you can also see that picture displayed on the broader equal weight tech ETF representative from Invesco, ticker RYT. This fund moved into a negative trend, sits on a sell signal, but is at support at 230 from June of this year. Also is in oversold territory, about the same oversold level as the broader group average. So still a weak funds core in a negative trend and a call of those on a sell signal. So not really much going forward on the positive side, but could be a potential kind of look for some mean reversion back toward the midpoint on its trading band. A name that's moved significantly lower, and we've tweeted this out a few times and talked about it some too, but it's Adobe. We saw some negative news headlines come out with Adobe last week. And this led to a rapid sell-off moving from, it would have been a kind of an improved looking technical picture up there at that 396 point, turned all the way back around and headed all the way back down to the 276 level. So a very weak technical picture, 0 for 5 attribute rating, but it is heavily resold at current levels. So those that might still be hanging on to some kind of exposure, I mean, it certainly going to be a sell candidate, but maybe look for some kind of sell on rally based on the heavily washed out condition that we see here for Adobe. Another name that's kind of definitely going to be a place to watch is Apple. So we see Apple moving quite a bit lower, at least at the time of this recording on based on market movement on Wednesday morning. Had some news headlines come out that said that they were looking to kind of not increase the production for iPhones based upon kind of reduced expectations for sales. And so that's leading shares down around 3.7% at the time of this recording. It's bumping right up against that longer-term bullish support line there at the 144 point. So we're on two consecutive sell signals here for Apple. It's still a 5 for 5er. Longer-term picture remains positive. If we can get some kind of bounce off of this, that would certainly be better for the technical picture of Apple. On the flip side, if you break through that level, you're looking at support down around the 134 to 130 range on the default chart there. So now shifting gears a little bit into the international equity space, take a look. I haven't really seen much improvement on many of the broad representatives. I've seen some notable changes, though, in looking at the country matrix rankings. We did see China fall out of the top quartile of the rankings, dropping 8 spots over the course of the past month into the 11th spot. So it still puts it in the hold classification by the country rankings. But nonetheless, it is the largest decline of any individual country over the course of the past 4 weeks or so. Norway also dropped out of the top quartile, dropping 6 spots down there into the 14th position. Brazil and Egypt have seen some notable improvement. Brazil really being the main one, they're jumping up 12 spots up there. It's seen a lot of improvement off the bottom, and you can see these looking at the country matrix rankings depicted on a map. Starting to see some of the other areas flipped from red into the yellow space. China is moving from green to yellow. Brazil's moving into the yellow, the hold area there. So not really too many broad changes to look toward, but it is good to see some of the areas kind of moving back into that hold classification. Again, further those areas that are probably further distant away from Europe. But in looking at Brazil, look towards the iShares Brazil ETF ticker EWZ. This fund still sits in a negative trend, still is a weak 2.5 or 4.5 fund score. We saw it kind of bounce off a near-term bottom. It's now trading right around the midpoint on its trading band. So it still is a weak fund score, but a very positive score direction. Certainly, we can break back through to a positive trend. Seems to be a lot of resistance around that 32 point. If we can break through that level, we'll likely see an improved score and an improved technical picture there. So other than that, not too much to touch on here on the international equity side. And I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
U.S. Treasury yields have continued to climb over the last week. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield index reaching 3.975% on its default chart yesterday, a full 0.5% above its previous high in June. That, of course, resulting in continued weakness throughout the market. You know, one potentially positive sign for fixed income here, the 10-year U.S. Treasury, the 10-year yield futures got up to 4% pre-market this morning. And then you can see reverse down pretty sharply to around 3.8%. This 4% level is around where Fed officials have cited their long-term projections for the neutral rate. So I think there is some potential for this to act as a ceiling for the longer-term rates. So definitely an area to keep an eye on. You know, obviously, one day's action, not enough to say that we're seeing significant resistance here or the trend reverse, but, you know, potentially a positive sign that we did see rates kind of stop at that level and then reverse down pretty sharply. So I think that is a key level to keep an eye on moving forward. investors clearly seeing the potential for continued volatility in the bond market. The ICE B of A Move Index, ticker ML Move, which is similar to the VIX for equities, reached 158 yesterday, topping its July high, and only about two boxes below the high that it reached during the COVID sell-off. Quite a different picture in the bond market than the equity market, where, you know, the VIX is currently around 30, which is elevated, but not near its kind of all-time highs. Meanwhile, you know, the ML Move Index at 158. So, you know, investors in the bond market, you know, anticipating volatility around what we saw in March of 2020. So, you know, clearly should expect to see some continued up and down movement, a lot of volatility in bonds moving forward. The overall relative strength picture of the fixed income market actually has changed somewhat. We see inverse fixed income now ranks first out of all 135 groups in the asset class group score system, closing in on a 5.0 fund score, already showing its highest score posting ever. So kind of speaking to the overall weakness of the fixed income market. However, we did see floating rates and short duration fixed income post higher fund scores over the last week, crossing above the 3.0 score threshold. At least in the case of US short duration, this is more a function of its relative strength improving rather than absolute improvement, as we did see short-term yields move up over the last week also. Not seeing short duration deteriorate as much as some other areas of the fixed income market or the equities market. So seeing its relative strength improve, I think these remain the areas that you kind of really want to concentrate your fixed income exposure at this time. You know, we've really seen these defensive groups lead the fixed income rankings, aside from inverse fixed income, for most of this year. And I think until we get some real hard evidence that yields may be moving in the other direction, this kind of remains where you want to be allocated. So moving on to commodities, as David mentioned earlier, they have now fallen to number two in the Dolly asset rankings behind cash. Energy commodities within the in the intra-asset class rankings now falling below precious metals over the last week, illustrating the weakening of energy commodities. Within the asset class, we continue to see the same areas of strength, primarily concentrated on agriculture. You can see the four agriculture contracts sitting at the top of the continuous commodity matrix here. One thing I did want to kind of illustrate here, this image shows the price history and correlation of the US dollar index and the iShares S&P GSCI Commodity Trust. We can see that earlier this year, they got up to about a 0.4 positive correlation on a rolling 3-month correlation, which is an atypical relationship for commodities and the dollar. Usually we see them move inverse of each other. And we can see now that that relationship has moved back to a negative correlation, which is a more normal relationship for commodities and the dollar, to around a negative 0.4 on the rolling 3-month correlation. I point this out only to say that, you know, while we saw commodities rising with the dollar earlier this year, based on the correlation we see now, the strength of the dollar may be a major headwind for commodities and part of the reason that we're seeing commodities weaken here. As to, you know, why the correlation has flipped, I'm sure, you know, we come up with a number of potential explanations, but I think the real takeaway is that, you know, unless we see that relationship change again, strength in the US dollar could continue to act as a headwind for commodities. Or conversely, if we see the US dollar weaken, it could now be a tailwind for commodities. taking a look at a couple of individual charts. First, probably the big one, crude oil. You can see here breaking a spread triple bottom at $81, taking out pretty notable support, and the last bit of support that it had on its chart from this year. So, you know, clearly the downward trend in crude oil continuing. It is trading in the upper 70s or low 80s today. So we may get a reversal up on that chart, but, you know, really no evidence yet to suggest that this downward trend in crude oil is changing. And then finally, taking a look at copper, it gave a second consecutive sell signal over the last week, breaking a double bottom at 336, remains above its recent low, but, you know, some evidence that this downward trend is continuing, and that the two buy signals we saw last month, you know, not resulting in an overall trend change for copper. So overall, commodities has weakened, falling to number two in the asset class rankings behind cash. Energy commodities weakening within the asset class, falling below precious metals in the Dolly rankings. And as we saw, the U.S. dollar now appearing to act as a headwind for commodities, a change of the relationship that we saw earlier this year. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, and I will pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Thanks so much, Jamie. So there's been a ton going on over the last week or so. We have interest rates continuing to move higher, which has really affected a number of areas in the market. Everything obviously from fixed income, but all the way down into equities and commodities with that higher dollar and things like that. So there's been a lot of changes. I think we did a really good job of updating you on what's happened over the last week. And then we'll be back next week to go over what we're seeing over the coming 5 days.